Was it Lula?
Yeah. Probably Lula.
Ah. Who is going to tell us a little about Mule, which is an open source enterprise service bus, mm-hmm. if I'm correct.
Okay, thank you.
You
very
have
much.
The stage.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. So I'm Esteban, and I'm here to present Go Open, Go Mule ESB. So this talk is not going to be. I'm not going to give a lot of technical details. Because of this, there's going to be like a demo from our new partner here in Norway, Capgemini, and they are going to give a demo there at Communities in Action today during the evening. So I hope that if you find interesting the Mule or whatever, either you contact me afterwards this talk, or you can go to the demo and talk with the guys, and it's going to be like really interesting. So what I'm going to talk today is more or less this. At the beginning, I'm going to give a brief introduction on why the ESBs appear in the market. So I'm going to start with the evolution of the middleware, how it was in the late 90s, and then how it started to evolve into what we have today. Then afterwards, I'm going to briefly introduce Mule. What is Mule and what is MuleSoft? And then a few slices of what is going to be the future of Mule that's going to happen in the next couple of months. So I'm going to give like good news for the people that are interested in the product. So let's start. So this is more or less the scenario we have in the late 90s. Despite the fact I'm a bit young, I face this kind of problems when I was developing an application for Carrefour, a French company in Argentina. In those days, the applications were they have a big backend, and they were really centric. I remember working with I remember working with an Oracle database and, you know, trying to integrate my web application with another one. It was really complicated. And you have to, you know, create documents to convince the people that are above you that that's the right direction to integrate the applications. So afterwards, there were some new technologies that appear in the market that makes the clients of those web applications much more rich. So people can access those applications in the same way they access the desktop applications. So all those buzzwords like Ajax, Comet, rich clients with Flex and whatever, they start to appear. And people started to consume these applications. So there were more responsibility on the client side, and there was a bit more lightweight on the backend. They tend to use more the database, but there were, you know, more logic on the client side. So what we have today is more or less, you know, the mixture between these two different scenarios. We still have these rich clients because people prefer to use rich clients where they can interact with applications really easily. But on the other hand, we have distributed sets of data. This is more or less related with the talk David gave today, that we have different data sets that could be from web services to different database, GMS queues, or whatever. And the idea of this is that we have something in the middle that helps to integrate clients with servers. Okay? What is cool about this idea is that we use the web middleware to integrate really in a light way clients with the servers. And also, it helps us to move our application to the cloud, or even to gather information from distributed source of information. So the question here is, what is Mule? Basically, Mule has evolved to an open source integration platform. We are happy to say that we have 2,500 deployments in production. And there are a lot of people interested in the product. We have almost 2 million million people that has downloaded our product and tried it. So that's pretty good. And the cool thing about Mule, it's open source. So you, if you have a problem, and you can check the code, and if you find a problem, you can report, and some people are going to be happy to help to solve you the problem. But on the other hand, you know, there are some organizations that are a bit afraid of open source projects. I faced this problem once when I was working at a different company called Globant. We were, you know, working on a web application, and we were using a web framework for creating the user interfaces automatically. And the thing that what happened is that we find a problem in the framework, and nobody was supporting the framework, so we have to check out the code, fix the problem, and create a new version of the framework for us. So that's why MuleSoft exists. It's basically, it's the company who is supporting the product. It was founded in 2006 by the founder of the project, and it has grown in customers every year. Basically, it almost doubled every year. There are a lot of different customers, mainly from the US, but there are more customers from Europe and the UK. So that's pretty good. And the idea with the company and these customers is that the customers wants to mitigate the risk of using open source projects. If they find a problem, they want somebody else to fix it really quickly because they have to meet some deadlines. And that's why MuleSoft is here, but also because MuleSoft has added some other products around the ESB, which helps to build and develop applications. So why is the name MuleSoft? So Ross Mason, who was the one who started the project in Codehouse, put this name because he was working on a bank and he was trying to integrate different applications. And he was so tired to do the same repeatedly thing every time that he called he was doing a donkey work. So that's why he put the name Mule to the project. And quickly, many people were interested in the project, and that's why he founded MuleSoft. So, well, till now I haven't mentioned nothing interesting about the product. But the cool thing is, I was not really familiar with Mule till 1 year and a half, so I was not an expert, and I faced this problem many times before, and you know, when I saw Mule, I thought that this was really great. So to put really a small example to you, let's say that we are building an e-commerce application like Amazon. That process, you know, hundreds or thousands of orders per hour. And suppose that we are receiving those purchases of the customers through HTTP, right? We have to follow a set of steps to create the purchase in our system. For example, we have to process the transaction internally, basically creating some objects and, you know, persisting it on a repository. Then we have to charge the user, the credit card of the user in some way, probably using some services that we have on our web services. And because we are building a, you know, a cool application, we want to publish on the Twitter wall that this customer has purchased something on our site, you know, just to make some advertising, obviously with the consent of the user. So this scenario is really typical of Mule, and it helps to build this kind of applications. And the cool thing about Mule is that the only part that you have to code manually, it's the process transaction, right? For the HTTP, you only have to configure a small XML for the charge user credit card, basically, if you have the whistle of your web service, you just drop the whistle, and it will create a couple of things automatically for you. And in the configuration, you have to say which is the method that is going to be invoked in this flow, and that's it. And last, for the Twitter wall, we have a model just to publish things on the Twitter. So basically, it's a small XML configuration, and that's it. You configure this small flow in XML. It shouldn't be more than probably 14, 15 lines. And you get this flow for free. And the only part you have to code is the process transaction. So on the big picture of Mule, what is important? It's that it's open source. You can get the community edition for free. You can use it in production. You have no problem to do that. I have my own projects that I'm trying Mule to create a small application, and I can get the community edition. It's open source, and I can try it on production. It's really lightweight, so it weighs between 40 and 60 megabytes. If you compare with other ESB solutions where you have to download 600 or even a giga, it's really lightweight. It's really flexible. If you need to add something in the middle of a flow, let's say you create your class or you want to integrate your existing piece of code, it's pretty easy. All you need is basically configure something. And it's really robust and scalable. That means that that we have some customers that they are using the product in production, and they have between 100 and 1,000 of these flows, and it works perfectly. And if you want to improve the load of your system, you may have multiple instances of Mule and run all of them in parallel. So this is more or less what is happening to Mule in the next couple of months. So if you check our blog, you will see what is, how it is evolving. So everything, all the enterprise software is, migrating to the cloud. A typical case is Salesforce, which is widely used in the US. So basically, you have your own instance of Salesforce, and you can use it with your customers. A lot of mobile devices are using to access the cloud, so that's also important. So everything is moving to the cloud, and that's where Mule Ion it's moving. So Mule Ion is going to be the first integration platform as a service. So if you don't want to install Mule locally or in your server, you can get your instance there. Like you get your instance on Amazon Web Services or in the Google App Engine or whatever, you will have your instance of Mule there. You with that instance, you can integrate with everything that you already have. Let's say that you want to use your GMSQ or whatever, or your Oracle database, you can do that. If you have your integrations with your partners, probably, to use a credit card, you can do that also. Let's say that you want to manage all your Salesforce cases with the ESB, define a flow for that, you can do it also. And as with the example, you can use also Twitter or whatever you want. So that's pretty good. And the other thing that how Mule is evolving is that right now, you have to configure everything in XML. And for me, at the beginning, it was a bit difficult to understand how I'm going to, to create this flow, because it was not so easy to do it. And that's why the company has invested a lot of creating this kind of tooling, which is going to be called Mule Studio. And the idea is that everyone who has, a small knowledge on integration can create their flows. And, with this flow, you will get the XML configuration for free. Basically, you define at a very high level the flows that you will have, and you will get the XML configuration for free. So that's more or less. I hope that you like the talk, and I invite you to download the community day edition from the page. It's, you know, it's really lightweight. You can get it in a couple of minutes, and it has a lot of examples if you want to try. There's also documentation on the webpage. The idea is, if you want to start using Mule in your organization, you don't have to pay a penny. You just try it. If you can put it in production, and then if you want to mitigate the risk, on, or if you want to get support from us, then you can purchase some support that you have to pay for it. But before, you don't have to do it anything. And you can do it with our Enterprise edition. The Enterprise edition basically has support, but also has tools to monitor the instance that you have from Mule. So that's pretty good also. So that's it. I hope you enjoy the talk. And if you have any questions, happy to answer.
Any questions? One question. I'll bring the microphone.
On what cloud infrastructure will you be running the iOS or Ion platform? Will that be on Amazon or is it on anything?
Yeah, what we are starting is going to be on the top of Amazon. You know, I'm trying it right now to try some other things that they have, but basically you will have your Mule instance. Your Mule instance is going to be, you know, running separately from all other instances. So you will get, you know, a virtual machine for you. It has a user interface, which is the management console that the enterprise version has. So it's a web interface that you log in. You just drop a zip file, which is the deployment artifact that Mule has right now. Inside the deployment artifact, it contains your classes and the configuration. And then you will get you know, the your instance of Mule running, your Mule application. So with that, you can do whatever you want. You can, you know, integrate with other services, you know, with Twitter or your database, a GMSQ, you know, SAP, whatever. So that's up to you. I'm you know, the pricing is going to be like almost like a software as a service. You will pay for what you use. If you don't use anything, then you don't have to pay for it. So, for example, I have a web service where I run my blog on Amazon, and I pay, you know, 2 pesos, Argentinian pesos. It's, you know, nothing for me. And I get everything for free. And this is almost to be quite similar, but, you know, for... it's good for companies that want to try the product. It's good also for individuals that want, you know, to have the application on the web. You can deploy your artifact there, and it's going to be pretty easy. And also, it's going to be pretty good if you want, you know, to have the same application on multiple servers. That's also going to be pretty interesting.
Any other questions? Yeah, one.
I hope it's short. Why should I choose Mule over Apache Camel? Or are they familiar at all?
You know, that's a sales question. You know, I'm not an expert to respond to that question. Probably I will say... right now, I'm more familiar with Mule than Camel. I tried Camel once, and I had problems with examples. So I just, you know, your first impression it's everything, and I didn't have the same problem with Mule. So that's why I choose Mule between Mule and Camel. I don't know if you want further detail. I know that one of the directors has a comparison between Camel and ESB, but that's not my part.
Right, final question, anyone? All right, looks like people are happy. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome.
And there will be a donation to UNICEF, if I remember correctly, in your name from us. So
thank you.
Right, 10 minutes until the next talk starts, a little less perhaps. See you then.